All right, thank you, Pearsons. Appreciate that, and what a blessing. Take your Bibles again and look at Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and verse 13, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." And that memorial, of course, is the Passover celebration, Passover feast. And the word memorial is a remember. It's a time to remember. And the people were told, hey, you know, God says, I delivered you from Egypt, and I want you to remember this forever. I want you to know that I delivered you. I want you to remember this. And of course, the Lord's Supper is set up here because Jesus told us, I want you to remember something. He said, I want you to remember what I did for you. I want you to remember that I delivered you. As I delivered the Jews many, many years ago, as I delivered them from Egypt, I want you to understand, Christian, I delivered you from the bondage of sin, the bondage of Satan. He wants you to know and remember that we have been delivered. I want to talk to you about the sacrifice of salvation. We are, again, talking about a time for salvation. On Wednesday, I talked about the saving of salvation. Tonight, or this morning, I talk about the sacrifice of salvation. And tonight, I will start a lesson or a message, which I'll have actually three of these on Sunday evening, the security of salvation. Talk about that tonight. But before we have the Lord's Supper, and in just a few minutes, we will observe the Lord's Supper together, and we are going to talk about the sacrifice of salvation. You know, baseball season started last weekend, and we see a play in baseball called a sacrifice. And it goes something like this. A guy gets on first base, he gets walked, or he gets hit by a pitch, or he gets a hit, or whatever. He gets on first base, and then the next guy up can sacrifice him to the next base. And the way he sacrifices him is he himself gets himself out so that the other guy can go to the base. He sacrifices himself for the other guy. And so it's called a sacrifice. Now, personally, I don't even like that in baseball. But I always think, let the guy hit, you know, unless he's a pitcher and pitchers can't hit. But it is an interesting illustration of what Jesus did for us. And we see it all through the Old Testament. We see a lamb. We see an animal that is offered as a sacrifice for the person who is offering that. But I don't know of any story that is any better to tell the story about than talking about the Passover, where a lamb is taken and it is observed, it is watched, it is they're making sure it has no spot, no blemish. We're not taking a lamb that has a broken leg here. We're not going to take the lamb. Oh, that lamb, yeah, that lamb, that'll be a good one. We can't do anything with it anyway. No. We're taking our best lamb. And we're going to take our best lamb, and we are going to kill that lamb. And we're going to take the blood of that best lamb that we have, and we're going to take that blood, and we're going to put it outside our house, around our door, on the doorpost and the head post, the top post. And we're going to put that blood, literally, we're going to paint that blood on the door, around the door, so that when God comes, he'll see the blood and he'll pass over our home. What a beautiful picture of sacrifice. That lamb dies for those people. That lamb will give its life because the life of the flesh is in the blood. And it will give its life so that its blood can be painted around that door. And of course, we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave his life. He gave his blood so that our sins could be passed over. Doesn't mean that we didn't sin. No, we did sin. We are sinners. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Father, I pray that you will bless the preaching today. Give us exactly what we need from your word. If there's anyone here not saved, please, God, show them. Show them the need to be saved this morning. And I pray for Christians, each of us, that we will examine ourselves, that we will consider what you've done for us, and God will make any decisions you want us to make today. May we be willing to give ourselves as a sacrifice, since you gave yourself as our sacrifice so we could be saved. Please bless now, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So in a few minutes, we will observe the Lord's Supper together. And the Bible says about the Lord's Supper that we are to examine ourselves. That's the preaching time is a time to examine ourselves. Obviously, we should be saved. We should be baptized. And as best we can, we should be right with the Lord when we observe the Lord's Supper. So I challenge you with that today, that you would examine yourself. You would consider that and be where you should be with the Lord. Doesn't mean you're perfect. Doesn't mean that any of us are perfect. Just means that you are, as far as you know, you are right with the Lord. You're saved, you're baptized, and right with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Even Christ, the Lord Jesus, even Christ, our Passover. Looking back to this story in the book of Exodus, even Jesus, even Christ, our Passover. He's our Passover. When God sees the blood, he will pass over you. You're not going to die and go to hell when your sins are under the blood. You're not going to be punished for those sins as long as you have made sure those sins are under the blood. As the Israelites would find on that night, that as long as they had the blood applied to the doorpost and the lintel of the house, as long as that blood was put there exactly how God said to do it, they knew that everything was going to be all right. And when he sees the blood, he's going to pass over. Even Christ, our Passover, oh, he sacrificed for us. Here in Exodus 12 and verse 13, it's such a precious thing. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Christ, our Passover. When God the Father, when the judgment of Almighty God, when it looks down at me, it doesn't see the sin in my life. It doesn't, the judgment of God does not see the wickedness of my heart. No, when he looks down at me, he sees the precious blood of Jesus Christ, who like a lamb was slain and his blood was shed, so that when God the Father looks at me, oh, you know what he sees? He sees the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can have that today before you leave here by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior and being saved and letting that blood cover, as the atonement, cover and blot out your sins from the sight of a holy, righteous, perfect God. What a blessing. The Passover, even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And the Bible says here in verse 14 that this day shall be unto you for a memorial. Hey, folks, God is going to deliver you from Egypt. God is going to deliver you from bondage, from being slaves. God's going to get you out of there, and he's going to deliver you, and he's going to do it in a miraculous way. And so I want you to remember what he did. I want you to think about it all the time. I want you to remember. I want it to be fresh in your mind. And so he said to us as Christians, he said, "I want you to remember Christ, your Passover. I want you to remember he was sacrificed for you." And in a moment, we'll take a little piece of bread and we'll remember that his body was broken. His body was lashed with a cat of nine tails and ripped to shreds and beaten by the fists of men. And we'll remember that as we drink the juice, we'll remember his blood poured from the wounds in his body. And his blood was shed for us. And we'll do it as a memorial. We'll think about it, but it all goes back to the sacrifice of salvation. The sacrifice. Israel was in Egypt. They were slaves. God called Moses to lead him out. Pharaoh, when Moses approached him, you've seen the story, you've seen it, maybe watched it, the Ten Commandments, different shows, and you can just hear Pharaoh as you read it in the scripture, you know, when Moses comes, "Let my people go!" And Pharaoh, "No, I'm not letting your people, these people are working for, they're my slaves." You know, the old devil's the same way. He doesn't want to let anybody go. He wants you to go to hell. He wants you to burn in hell for all eternity. If you're here without Christ, he wants you to leave here without Christ. I mean, time after time, I heard the gospel as a young person. I heard how to be saved, and I walked away lost. And the devil laughed. The devil snickered. The devil had his bony hands around my throat. He wanted to take me to hell. But hallelujah, I got saved one day. And I'm telling you, you're here lost. He's holding on to you. Just like Pharaoh was holding on to the Jews in Egypt because he wanted them to be as slaves. Verse 12, it's very clear what God was doing though next. It says in verse 12 at the end of it, he says, and I'll pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And watch what he said. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. God said, I'm going to deal. I'll show the Egyptians who is really God. And as you read about the plagues that God sent on the Egyptians, you watch him punching one after another their gods right in the mouth. They're little g gods. You know, our God always punches the little g gods in the mouth. Always. You know, he always is going to win that battle. And so God, one by one through the 10 plagues, God is assaulting the little g gods of the Egyptians. And they had gods out of everything. I mean, you look at many religions, and actually most religions in the world, and they're making gods out of everything. You know, they'll make a god out of the sun, make a god out of the moon. They'll make gods out of water. They'll make gods out of trees. They'll make gods out of anything and everything. Probably the biggest little g god in the world today is when you look in the mirror. Man. Man is probably the biggest little g god that is facing mankind today. Where, you know, I don't worship the sun. I don't worship the moon. Boy, look at that guy in the mirror. Humanism is probably one of the biggest religions in the world today. But anyway, that's another story. By the way, God deals with that too with the very last plague. God says, I can take man's life too anytime I choose. Anytime I choose. But one by one, God attacks the gods in the water by turning the water into blood. One by one, God attacks. He attacks the people sending frogs. And their god, the frog, was one of their gods. And boy, you know, God shows them, okay, you can have all the frogs you want then. And the land is covered with frogs. And then God sends a plague of lice to the people. And God sends a plague of flies. These people worship flies, believe it or not. This is one of their big gods. Then God sends the plague on all the animals. And the animals are diseased. And many of the animals die. Many of the animals that they worshiped. God sends boils and sores to man. And again, showing the frailty of mankind. And that was a plague. And God sent hail and fire and destroyed many of the crops. And of course, they worshiped those things. Then whatever the hail and the fire didn't destroy, God sent locusts and they ate up everything green that was on the earth. And boy, one by one, God assaults the gods of the Egyptians. And then there's darkness and he blots out the sun. And so the sun cannot be seen. And obviously then neither could the moon. And the people they cannot believe it. But Pharaoh, every plague, Pharaoh says, no. Moses says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, I'm not going to let your people go. It's not happening. The last plague, number 10, 10th plague. Is a plague we read about here. The death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn in every home. Unless the blood of the lamb was applied to the upper doorpost and the side post. The death of the firstborn. This was the plague that was going to take place. And so there had to be blood of a lamb. Therefore a lamb would have to be sacrificed. Seen throughout the Old Testament. Lamb being sacrificed. Happens over and over in the Old Testament. Sacrifice. We read about it, and a lot of times we you know, be very, very careful that when you read about stuff, you don't become kind of numb to it, and it's no big deal. I mean, a lamb is giving its life. You read that in the Old Testament. By the way, it becomes very real when Abraham and his son Isaac go up to offer the sacrifice, and they have no lamb. And Isaac, as a young boy, maybe 12, 13, maybe 14 years old, he looks at his dad and said, Dad, Where's the sacrifice? We have fire, we have the wood, we have everything we need, and you said we're offering a sacrifice, but there's no sacrifice. And Abraham the father, because God had told him that he was going to offer his son as a sacrifice, Abraham says, "My son, God will provide himself a sacrifice." Those are awesome words. God will provide himself a sacrifice. Now, in Abraham's mind, God had told him, "Your son is a sacrifice." But what words? Because God did provide himself a sacrifice. And we see it. Altar's built. Isaac is laid on the altar. You can imagine his eyes wide open with fear. "Dad, what in the world are you doing?" And Isaac, I believe his head was pulled up and the jugular vein was exposed and the knife was to the vein. And all of a sudden, over in the thicket, there's a ram. And God says, "Wait a minute, Abraham, stop! There's your sacrifice." Glory to God. There's your sacrifice. And we all know the story and we hear about it. It takes a lamb. A lamb. There has to be blood of a lamb. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus walking one day, he looked up and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Behold! Right there. The Lamb of God. No accident. No mistake. Jesus, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:19, "With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Praise the Lord. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats." No blemish, no spot. You're not going to take some old beat up lamb here. You're not going to take some lamb that's diseased, some lamb with a broken leg, some lamb you're going to kill anyway. No, you're going to take your very best. And God gave his very best when he gave Jesus. And Jesus never sinned. And he's the lamb. Praise the Lord. But here's the unique thing, and I've talked about this before, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but one of the unique things, God is attacking all their gods. He said that in verse 12. "All the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I'm going to deal with all of them." You know, you would have thought the Egyptians by now on the ninth plague, by now all the Egyptians would say, "Whatever they do, I'm going to do." Wouldn't you? You'd think by now the Egyptians, I mean, most of them, you know, I know Pharaoh, his heart's hard. I understand that, but I mean, I'm Frank Egyptian. I'm a Fred Egyptian over here. I got my family to be concerned about, and I'm going to pay attention. Hey, what are the Jews doing over there? Because when we had dark, they had light. When we had locusts, they didn't. I mean, I want to find out what they're doing. By the way, that's the way it ought to be in this world, shouldn't it? People ought to be looking and saying, "I wonder what they're doing." But you know, God made it very, very clear. The Egyptians, they're not going to do this. Because God said you have to take the blood of a lamb. And you have to put that blood on your doorpost and your side posts of your door outside. You say, "What's the big deal?" Well, because the Egyptians' main god was a lamb. That was their main god. Amun-Ra. Their main god. And in fact, he was such a main god that it was against the law to kill a lamb without special permission. And the penalty for doing that was death. It is no accident, folks, that God said, there's only one way that the firstborn's not going to die, and that is you have to kill a lamb. And you have to put that blood of that lamb on your doorpost and on your side post. It wasn't an accident. And God said, "Okay, Egypt, let's see how your God does now." Oh, my. What are the people going to do? Four things, quickly, and then we'll have the Lord's Supper. Number one is the death of the sacrifice. The death of the sacrifice. There isn't any way around it. Verse 5, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. The lamb had to die. The lamb had to shed its blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. It had to die. It had to give up its blood. It had to be a sacrifice. But Egypt said this. Egypt said, if you kill a lamb, you'll die. I can guarantee that the Egyptians, you know, they're trying to figure this out. And a couple of them maybe got together and said, you know, we ought to do what they're doing. But man, our law says if we kill a lamb, we're dead. Well, how about if we just fake it? No, it's got to die. The blood has to be spread on the doorpost and the side posts of the door. Wow. Egypt said, kill a lamb, you die. God said, kill a lamb, and you live. What are you going to do? Huh? The key thing, though, is the lamb. The lamb is the sacrifice. No way around it. The lamb is the sacrifice. Well, how about if we do this with something else? No, it's a lamb. Yeah, the lamb is the sacrifice. Now, come on. We'll take some corn and we'll offer that, and we'll grind it up and we'll get a paste and we'll paste that on. No, it has to be a lamb. It has to be a lamb. There's no way around it. The death of the sacrifice. The lamb has to die. It can only be a sacrifice if it dies. If the lamb lives, there is no sacrifice because there's no blood, there's no Passover, and that means death. It has to die, the death of the sacrifice. You see, you have to understand, Egypt, Pharaoh, wanted to keep the people in bondage. And so he would say, you know what? Don't you dare kill a lamb because I'll kill you. Don't you dare have that lamb killed and put that blood, because I will kill you if you do that. And you know, the devil wants to keep us in bondage. And the devil wants to keep your neighbor in bondage and your loved ones in bondage. And the devil wants them lost and in hell someday. And so the devil says, hey, ignore the lamb. Don't pay attention to the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Don't pay attention to God's word and what it says. Do your own thing. Figure it out yourself. But understand, without the death of the lamb, there's no freedom from bondage. Without the death of the lamb, there is no salvation. As we observe the Lord's Supper, understand that, you know, some people say, well, that's, you know, that's cannibalistic. You talk about his body and his blood and all that kind of stuff. No, not to me, it's not. Because without the body and the blood, there is no sacrifice, and I will stand for my own sins, which means I'd go to hell for all eternity. It's a precious thing that the Lamb of God did when he died for us, but he had to die. There's no way around it. And again, that's why there's a memorial. That's why the Jews celebrate the Passover. It's to remember what God did, but really remember what the Lamb did. And for you and I, it's the Lord's Supper as we think about what the Lamb of God did. This do in remembrance of me, Jesus said. The Lamb, our sacrifice. Number one is the death of the sacrifice had to die. Number two is the decision for salvation. The decision for salvation. Every time I read this, I get excited because I love verse 4. It says, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. What's that mean? Make sure there's enough lamb for everybody. Make sure everybody has an opportunity to be spared, to be saved by the blood of the Lamb. Make sure there's enough. And I'm reminded that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world, the world, the world. That's everybody. That's you. That's me. That's all of us. That's doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what your income. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what your past is. Glory to God. It's available for everybody. So make sure there's enough for everybody. Praise God. This isn't exclusive. Oh, praise the Lord. But you see, it's a decision that they had to decide what to do. By the way, it's always that way with God. Do you realize that? It's always that way. It's always, you have to decide. Choose you this day who you will serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. They had to choose. Choose what you're going to do. The decision for salvation, two choices, it's always been that way. Egypt said, if you kill the lamb, you'll die. God said, if you kill the lamb, you'll live. Period. God says, you better do what I say. Egypt said, you better do what we say. God says, I'm going to show you their little g gods aren't gods. I'm going to show you there's going to be hundreds of lambs slain. Their blood's going to be on the doorpost and the side post, showing you how powerful their gods are. God says, I'll show you, but you got to choose. You know, a lot of people, well, I'll kind of wait around and see what happens. You do, and there's death. There isn't any waiting around. I believe with all my heart there were some Egyptians that thought, man, I wish I could do this. I guarantee there were some firstborn children in some homes that said, Daddy, would you please do this? Daddy, won't you do what they did? The Israelites, they did it. Why aren't you doing it, Daddy? There's lambs around here. Couldn't you do that for me, Daddy? By the way, we hear this all the time with our little bus kids. They come up here. You wonder on a Wednesday night why a little bus kid comes up and says, gives preacher something. Often it says, pray for Daddy. He's not saved. Pray for Mommy. She's not saved. And sometimes you'll see me stand right up here and we'll stand right here and I'll say, let's pray right now. And there's their name, sometimes misspelled. And I'll beg God to save that child's daddy or mommy. But I'm telling you, there's enough lamb for everybody. There's enough blood for everybody. Praise the Lord. But you have to make the decision. Egypt says, you kill a lamb, you die. God says, you kill the lamb, you live. And we all have to choose. Is it the devil's way that we'll choose, or is it God's way? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, I'll figure it out. That's the way of death. I'll do something myself. I'll be a good person, and I'll do a lot of good things. And the Bible says, your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Will you work your way to heaven, or will you accept the sacrifice that already has been paid for you? It's you do versus he did. What are you going to choose? When I see the blood versus what if they see the blood? That's what it was. That was the decision that had to be made. That is the decision that we have to make. Praise God. At the age of 17, it amazes me sometimes. I think back to those days. What in the world took me so long? I guess what took me so long was when I see the blood versus what if they see the blood? What will everybody think? What's everybody going to think if I get saved? Phooey on that stuff. Hell's not worth it. It's not worth it. Number one, the death of the sacrifice. Number two, the decision for salvation. Number three, and I love this, the display of separation. The display of separation. What do you mean? What if they see the blood? They will. You know why? Because he didn't say, put it in on the bedroom door. He didn't say, oh, there's a door leading out. Let's put it there. On the one leading out, we'll put it on the inside. I guarantee it went through the mind of a lot of people. Well, wait a minute. If they see the blood out there, they're going to come kill us. They're going to ask where that blood came from. They already know what's going on as far as the word has passed because of the Egyptian Facebook. You know, it passed fast back then. It, maybe not as fast as it does today, but it was passing around, I guarantee. And you know, it's like, you know, could we maybe hide the blood? Maybe we'll put a curtain up. No, you want God to see it. Yeah, but if God sees it, that means they're going to see it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you know it's always been like that? Verse 7, they shall take of the blood, strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. Verse 13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you. You see it? So, in order for God to see it, they're going to all see it. Isn't that something? It's an obvious choice, isn't it? There's no hedging. That's salvation. It's a choice. It's an obvious choice. God, I choose your way. That's salvation. God, I choose your way. It's your way. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I deserve hell. Oh, God, save my wicked soul. There's no hedging on that. There's no playing games. It's just God's way. You see, salvation is black and white. There's no in between. It's Jesus said, I am the way. You can't mess around with it. Well, I'll try religion. Religion can't save you. You can do the Lord's Supper. You can get baptized till you shrivel up. And honestly, you can do all kinds of religious things. You can light candles. You can wash the chandeliers and clean the stained glass and all those kind of things. You can do every kind of religious thing, but you can't be saved till you make that choice. Jesus, I choose you. Romans 10, verse 9. Look at it real quick. We're just about done. Romans chapter 10. And verse 9. Well, yeah, but preacher, I mean, come on, God would appreciate it if we'd just be good, but you can't be good enough. There had to be a sacrifice. There had to be the one to take the punishment for you, to die for you. The Lamb in the Old Testament, he died. So temporarily a person could be forgiven. Jesus Christ, he died on a cross so that we could be forgiven throughout all eternity so we could go to heaven and not go to hell. And Romans 10 and verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Shall not be ashamed. Oh God, I'll put the blood wherever you want to see the blood, God. I'll do whatever I need to do. I've got to be saved. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I don't want to go to hell, God. I choose the blood. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what the Lord's Supper is all about. You know, God's never been for a secret Christianity. Never has. God's never been for that at all. What's the Lord's Supper about? I take a little piece of bread and I say, you know what? Jesus Christ's body was broken for me. I deserve the punishment, but he took it for me. I take a little cup of grape juice. Jesus' blood. You and I can't even begin to imagine the blood. There isn't any, Hollywood has nothing as gory as our Lord Jesus Christ hanging like a chunk of meat on the cross. There is nothing that Hollywood can do to duplicate the blood that was shed for you and I. And it's just a little cup. It's just a little brief moment. We can kind of stare at that and understand it was the blood that was shed so my sins could be forgiven. Why? Because it took a sacrifice. That's why. A sacrifice. Somebody who would say, I'll go. Somebody who would live a perfect life, who would be spotless, and who would be sinless, who'd say, I'll go. And that was my Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to put the blood on the inside of the house. I don't want to hide the blood. I want the world to know, and that's why we get baptized. Water doesn't wash anything away. In fact, I've baptized in dirty water before. But the water pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it says to a people, I've decided. I made my choice. Amen. The Lamb is my sacrifice. And Egypt is offended. Let it be. Let him be offended. And by the way, the devil's offended when you get saved too. And he's going to fight you. And he's going to fight you. And he's going to fight you. And the world is offended when we get saved. And they're going to fight you. And there's going to be persecution. And we ain't seen nothing yet. There are Christians all over this world that are suffering. There's Christians right now, today, right now, who are fearing for their very lives as they meet in little woods somewhere. And they sing the songs we sang. Sometimes we, these songs are boring. I promise you this. If you knew there were guards searching for you out in these woods, those songs would be very precious to you. They'd be very precious to you, knowing that a sacrifice was made so you could be saved. The death of the sacrifice. 2, the decision for salvation. 3, the display of separation. And then the last thing, 4, is a day of satisfaction. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Imagine the Jewish home. All through the night, the cry from Egypt was heard as the firstborn died. And you could hear mothers wailing, fathers crying out, oh! They died. They're dead. I can see dads and moms going into a little room and checking every so often, everything's okay. By the way, when the blood's applied, it is okay. It's always going to be okay. Oh, and the wailing and the crying that took place that night. But it was a day of satisfaction. Because Pharaoh finally came. Verse 30, Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house, think about it, where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go. You're free! Go. And the devil says, all right, you want to be saved, Christian? Go! Just go. It's my sacrifice. My Savior gave himself so I could be free. And we have the Lord's Supper. And I can say this, I'm satisfied. It's a day of satisfaction for me. I can imagine the average Jewish home that day, as they're not only their firstborn is alive, but they're packing up. Free. Free. And you know what? I'm packing up. I'm free. I've been packing up. This world is not my home. Amen. I'm just a passing through. Amen. We're just passing through here. I hope you're not getting roots too deep. Amen. Keep your luggage out. Amen. Because we're going someday. And as we observe the Lord's Supper, he said to not only look at his perfect life and to look at his death on the cross and his burial and his resurrection, but he also said, till he come. And he's coming someday. Amen. He's coming someday. the one who died for me, the one who shed his blood for me, my sacrifice. I chose him. I chose him. I hope you've chosen him as well. I hope he chose you because he died for you. I hope you'll choose him as well. If you're not saved, please get saved today. If you're already saved and God's speaking to your heart about something, in a moment we'll have the Lord's Supper. Come and get that right with him today.